This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of November, 2019. My name's Patrick Smith. Deep breaths, everybody. Not been the best couple of weeks for the Belfast Giants. Point-free weekend and two games against the Dundee Stars and the Coventry Blaze. Adam Keefe and Steve Thornton have begun ringing the changes in the roster in order to try to get this team back together as we head off to Cardiff this weekend to face the Devils for the first time this season. There is a lot of ire, there is a lot of anger, there's a lot of frustration, not only on the ice, not only in the backroom staff, but no doubt with the fan base. And we are going to have a bit of a chat about where the Belfast Giants are at right now as we go into this weekend and we try to chase back down this elite league title. We're going to hear in this show from David Goodwin, the new centreman for the Belfast Giants. We'll also hear from the head coach, Adam Keefe. And we may be calling up Mr. Blair Riley, but we'll leave that for later in the show. With me at this moment in time, Mr. David McGimsey. How are you?
Good evening, Paddy. I'm not too bad. Sorry about the echo. I have a wee bit of work done in the house, and it's just me on the chair, on the mic, on the laptop. So it's a bit...
Getting the podcast suite redone, mate.
Doing the studio up again, mate, yes.
Good. Putting the effort in, that's good to hear. And a man on tonight, I think it's 6 years since your first appearance, Mr. Joel Neal.
Good evening, Paddy. This kind of feels like a wake, boys. There's a very sullen tone. Is everybody okay?
Yeah, doing all right, mate. Doing all right.
Yeah, hanging in there. All right.
I got to be honest, right? By the magic of radio, we don't always record things in the same order. Just something that we've just done there. It's just really took the wind out of my sails. I found that a lot tougher than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
It's something that you hear later in the show. But what we'll do is we'll start off by talking about the two games the Belfast Giants undertook in the last weekend. A home game to Dundee and away to the Coventry Blaze. Both regulation defeats. Start off with the game, Omar Pasha's side visiting the SSE Arena to take on the Giants, and they walked out of there with a 4-2 victory. Giants goals coming from Mark Garside and Bobby Farnham scoring at 59-59. The Stars goals come from Dow, Beauregard on the power play, Pearson on the power play, and Matt McCart on an empty net goal. Goalies, Shane Owen, 24 saves, Leclerc, 45 saves. Your refs were Matt Rose and Andrew Dalton. Davey, I'll start with you on this. Stagnant is the only thing I can think of from the Belfast Giants in that game.
Like, Paddy, if you interviewed me on Saturday night about 11 o'clock, you'd have got a different answer. One, it was airlocked, but... but that aside, I'd watched the game, and, you know, I've watched it back and analysed it, if you like, now. And yes, to an extent, I agree with you. And I know the coach talked on his interviews and stuff at the weekend about being perimeter and things that we've been saying for the last lot of weeks. And I think we had an interaction, you and me, with someone else on Twitter. And I can't for the life of me think who it was. But we talked about, don't worry about recording a podcast this week. We'll just stick one on from 2 or 3 weeks ago before we went in that 6-game winning streak. Because it was the same kind of analysis, if you like. Perimeter, shooting from the outside, nobody going into the house, no traffic in front, making it easy for goaltenders. But you know, like, and I say this with a caveat of I've got the stats in front of me. The Dundee Stars had 30 shots. We had 90. You know, that smacks of possessional and opportunity dominance. And the game didn't really play out like that. It didn't seem, watching it back, like we were as dominant as we actually were in terms of, you know, Dundee Stars, okay, the block 16 shots. A bit like last week, we were talking about the Nottingham Panthers being willing to... We've blocked half that many shots with a third of the amount of shots on us. So we're defensively, you know, okay, but we're conceding like goals from the outside, goals that haven't conceded when we were going through. It's all flipped on its head. When we were going through that win streak, we were solid as anything at the back. Now we're not getting a goal up front again. But symptomatic, like earlier in the season, we're not getting the goals and we're not defending as well. And the outplaying of that has obviously been roster changes, which I think we all felt were coming, possibly due, more changes possibly due as well. You know, if we look around, we'll come on to the changes that were made and where the, you know, we'll talk about them later in the show. But in terms of like the actual game, I can't look at that analytically and say that we didn't absolutely dominate that game. Now, why are we taking 90 shots and scoring effectively one goal and one goal with a second to go in the game from, you know, Mark Garside coming up with one goal, Bobby Farnham with a second? You know, statistically, even goalies at the very top of our game, 92, 93, 94% on their very, very best night, we should still be scoring, you know, four or five goals there. It's just, why is the puck not going on the net? And I guess it's got time for Steve Thornton, Adam Keefe, Rob Stewart, Smo, whoever else is in that, you know, coaching sort of boot room thing that Robert put together. They said, times for change. The boys have had opportunities here now for, what, 2 months? And the puck hasn't gone in the net often enough, so the outplaying, as I say, is there's been changes.
We were 1 second short of nearly going three full games, scoring two goals, and those both goals being scored by D-men in Garside and in Patrick Mullen. It's just not good enough.
Is that coming back to me again?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sorry, Joel, because I don't want to.
Oh no, you're fine.
Hog the airtime as such. Yeah, Paddy, I agree. Absolutely. And I know I'll probably get peltered on Twitter or whatever about this analysis, but like, I'm sure Adam Keefe's looking at, oh, I know he is, he's looking at the same stats and he's looking at the same analytics as I am. You couldn't, if somebody didn't tell you what the scores in the game were and handed you these analyses that we have on face-offs and shots and where they're from and you know, heat maps and shot charts and all the things that we have, you would say that the Belfast Giants are winning these games like 9-2 and 8-7. The analysis of why we are not scoring is it just has to be personnel. It has to be that the guys that are employed to score the goals aren't scoring the goals. And I cannot for the life of me work out why. And I guess that's why they're rolling the dice or they're shuffling the deck or whatever. And I've seen a lot of chat on Saturday night, Sunday night, and sort of getting at Adam Keefe a little bit, saying, oh, he's changing the lines too much. But he trusts the players that he's brought in. He sees them in practice doing things well. They talked last week about, you know, being one of the best weeks practice they've had all season long. Mm. And you go into a weekend against Dundee and Coventry and you can't score when you're scoring for fun in practice and you're doing things right. And he has trust in those players and they're just not, you know, I'm not going to personalise it. I'm not going to call one, two, three, whatever players out. As a collective, you've hit the nail on the head. The goal was scored by Mark Garside. The goal the previous weekend, I can't remember.
The only goal was on the Saturday, which was Patrick Mullen.
Patrick Mullen the weekend before. And, you know, the forwards as a collective, whatever there is, 8, 10, 12 of them, just not putting the puck in the net. And I don't know why. The chances are there. We're getting those scoring opportunities. We're just not putting it past the goalie.
Joe, the game itself, you have to put a lot of credit to Omar Pasha's Dundee Stars. We said time and time again, it's a game where he likes to sit back and catch us on the break. That's exactly what they've done quite a few times. But and the Giants, you know, just weren't able to fire anything back.
Yeah, look, that leaves Dundee 3-1 on the series. If you factor cup and league, and you know you have to just hand it to Pash. They've come back and they've avenged a heavy 7-2 defeat, where we were right in the middle of thinking that we were back on track. I do have two positives for this game, if that would help lighten the mood at all. I guess the problem is that neither of them are on ice. First of all, great to see Matty Rose back refereeing. He obviously fell and took a bad hit to the head in October in Cardiff, I think it was, bad concussion. So good to see him back out there. And also, I guess it's good and bad. How phenomenal to see a full bowl, absolutely rammed building in November on a night when you had the NI Open Snooker Championship, Northern Ireland's game against the Netherlands, and Belfast Christmas light switch on. So you know, there's good things happening on the periphery, but unfortunately it's sparse consolation whenever you look at what's going on the ice. Let's take a look at, Davey's analyzed it quite well. You know, we are in an extraordinary week, an extraordinary month, I guess, for this club. I don't remember a time in the sort of decade, I guess, that I've been at almost every game where this kind of thing is happening, where we are, as I said in previous weeks, defensively doing enough to win games. Our build-up play through the neutral zone is good. We are fast on transition, but when we hit that blue line, something peters out. And, you know, we had our looks early in that game. Kieran Long had a one-timer, which was tipped up onto the net. The first 10 minutes, we looked okay, but there was just no fizz to the game. There was no spark and no grit. You know, Jordan Smother and Paul Swindlehurst had a couple of kind of decent chances. But then, you know, if you don't take those chances, no matter how many there are, sooner or later somebody will score. And that's what Dryden Dow did. You know, Shane Owen was forced into that dangerous rebound, and they worked their way inside in our zone, and they pounced, you know. And even after that, you know, sometimes you just get the feeling that it's all going wrong. You can't see a way back, even though the game is perfectly winnable. For the rest of that first period, after the first goal, Belfast could not carry that puck over the blue line. It was as if there was a force field. You know, in that second period, Garside got that goal. It was a scrambler. It was nothing emphatic. And there was the biggest reaction of the night was a defensive phase. You know, Shane Owen sprawling all over the place, four teal shirts battling around the crease. That was the biggest reaction in the barn all night, and that says everything you need to know about the prominence of our effective offense. The Giants' power play, I'm sorry, was dreadful. Beauregard's,
it has been pretty poor all season, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean that Beauregard goal for 2-1 was on the par, was on a
was on a penalty kill. Yep,
it was on a kill. You know that one, Matt Pelich took a stinger with the puck, and he was really feeling it. Beauregard found himself wide open in the zone, so obviously that was bad. Defoe then scored a power play goal early in the third, and after that, the game was dead. Frustration had set in. Our penalty kill obviously also stuttering there, but the power play really has faltered. I can point to a number of times over the weekend, and especially in Coventry the next night, where I legitimately forgot we were on the power play. You know, you're just watching the game thinking that it's 5-on-5, because there's no attempt to set up a cycle in the zone. There's no effective system emerging from what I'm looking at. You know, we could pick over the bones of this forever, which there's, you know, it's cathartic to a degree, but I think we've said everything that needs to be said. You know, we are in an extraordinary month for this club.
Divi, I'm going to pop back to you just because I asked for a few people just for comments on Twitter and the likes, and Ryan Rodwell says it, picking up on what Joel's just said, special team statistics over the past week, it's going to be pretty unsettling, but should certainly be discussed. I think our power play conversion and our penalty kill percentages are probably at their worst for a long time. Now, I'll argue that I actually think up until maybe the last week or two, our PK's been pretty phenomenal. But the power play itself, you'll know statistically, you know, we don't seem to be firing as we should be.
It's a similar, you know, analysis to the overall theme of the game. I think that, you know, I always worry about trying to overanalyze things from a layman's term. Like, I haven't played the game, so it's just what I've learned over, whatever, 30-odd years, maybe a wee bit more of what 30 years of watching the game and what I understand, to my eye, a good power play should do. And I always often think we're maybe a little bit static. And, you know, we just weren't, we're not creating looks. We turned the puck over a lot on the power play. We obviously scored shorthand, but we also conceded shorthanded, which takes a lot of momentum out of the team as well. And, you know, we talk about our penalty kill. We've taken a few too many silly penalties. I've seen a lot of finger wagging on Twitter and stuff over the last few days as well. And you can't personalize things. People take penalties in games. We're not taking ill-disciplined mouthing penalties a la a few years ago when we had different personalities. And I think we all know who we're talking about there. You know, within that, and that season's gone, we have a pretty disciplined team in terms of they're not getting misconducts for talking back to the referees. But there are things to work on. Like, that power play will be worked on every single day of the week. Mm-hmm. And it's not for 5 minutes of practice. It's a massive part of practice. And it will be frustrating. I said the other day, the season, you know, Kiefer looks 5 years older after 5 weeks of the season. He takes so much of the blame and the responsibility himself. You could hear him talking on the show later on. Got a chat with him earlier on, and he takes it so personally, and he takes so much responsibility. But there comes a time as well, and we asked him this question the other week, when does the time come to say, you know what, I'm taking my responsibility, but I've kind of done all I can do here. I've prepared you show me in practice that you can do what I've drawn on the board. You've now got to go and convert. You've got to go and do it. And it's just a case of we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as a function. We're not functioning as a unit well enough. And as I said at the very start, Paddy, it is down to personnel now. I don't think it's down to systems. I don't think it's down to the coach. I think it's down to conversion. And I think it's down to following that process and being willing to go into those dirty areas that we're not willing to do. You know, you can overcomplicate a power play. By that I mean, I don't mean the team. Us as fans can overcomplicate what is a pretty basic situation that you've got more men than them and you've got to get pucks through the net. And if I look at our stats over the weekend there, one of our major failings from the defeats, if we take and say everything was rosy in the garden, had the 6 wins, it wasn't. We were just slightly better than what we've been, and we're only slightly worse than we've been. Not, you know, 80-90 shots that I say there, you know, you convert a few of them, we're talking a completely different context. So as I put on Twitter, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater either. You have to believe in the process that we're still within striking. To win our 2 games in hand, we're a point off the top of the league. Mm-hmm. Let's not get carried away with the position we're in. We often talk about Babcock, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low. But we have to be careful that we also don't gloss over what is, I'm not going to call them unacceptable, but certainly wins that have been thrown away. These were, you have to be at the top of the league in April. You have to be putting away the Dundee Stars. When you look at the league table, you have to put the Dundee Stars away at home. If you were at Coventry 2 weeks ago and you beat them home and home, you have to put them away on a Sunday night. With the depth of scoring talent that is in that team, it's just not good enough that they're not coming up. None of the forwards are scoring goals. Jordan Smotherman leads the team in points. He's doing what it says on the tin. Bobby Farnham probably wasn't signed to score as many goals. Interesting interview with Bobby last week where he's talking about how he had to change. You know, if you're a player in North America and you're getting 4 minutes, 3 minutes a game, and you're getting out and you're getting 2 or 3 agitating shifts or penalty, you know, penalty kills, or you go out there to send a message, you go out there to give the top lines a couple of minutes off. Whereas now, you know, if you look down some of the forward lines, you know, Bobby Farnham on Saturday night was out with Reddicks and Ward. Then he was out with Hamilton and Ward. He was out with Ronka and Ward. He was out with Reddicks and Dupuy. You know, he's one of the common denominators here because he's playing well and he's willing to go into that blue paint. So he's getting his ice time. You know, and from that point of view, you have to say, well, kudos to Bobby, be patting the back. He was brought in to be a wee bit of sandpaper, but he's being depended on to try and get other lines sparking. So, you know, and that's not what Adam Keefe will want. Adam Keefe will not have signed Bobby Farnham thinking he's going to be the spark plug that, you know, lights up Liam Reddicks, that lights up Jean Dupuy, who's sadly left us, you know, who lights up Brian Ward. He will have been the guy to come in and back these guys up when they go into the crease. When it gets messy, Bobby Farnham's stepping in for them. He's being the one that's sort of a catalyst to try and get these guys sparking. It's so frustrating, Paddy. It's so frustrating. But temper that with, I'm not saying it's acceptable, but temper that with, don't get too low. We're still right in the mix. But it can't go on. You have to hope that David Good coming in is a major spark.
Yep.
That he wins a few more face-offs, perhaps. We're a better puck possession team than we are a team chips and chases. So, you know, win more face-offs, which we did well at the weekend. Keep possession. Don't turn it over. And then all the good things happen. But, you know, right back to my first sentence, Paddy, we had 90 goals at goal. You've got to win those games. There's just no glossing over that.
No.
I want to move it on to Sunday's game. The highlights of that game, the Dundee game from Belfast Giants TV with Mr. Simon Kitchen and the return of television's Neil the Coach Russell. And if that's the result for his mate Omar Pasha when he's back on comms, then he can... Anyway.
go back to wherever he got that tan.
Hashtag thanks, coach. game in Coventry on Sunday. The Belfast Giants a number of weeks ago, as David had just said, had back-to-back victories. In fact, had a victory in the Sky Dome only a couple of weeks ago, 6-3. This time, 6-3 against another regulation loss. The Giants' goals coming from Ronka, Bobby Farnham, and shorthanded from Matt Pellett. The Blaze goals, two for Corcoran, two for Ball, one power play goal, one empty netter, one for Bluduff, and one for Polkamp. In goals, Owen, 30 shots against Phillips, 36 shots against, and your referees were Tom Darnell and Liam Sewell. An eventful game, but Joel, coming to you once again, the Giants, while showing some green shoots, which we've said a few times this season, just seemed to collapse. And we'll talk about the controversial fourth goal for the Coventry Blaze in a minute, but that led to what ended up being the 6-3.
Yeah, so I mean, but first of all, there was a bit of chopping and changing with regard to the scratches ahead of face-off. Yep. Mullen and Forsberg sat out, and I think Mullen and Dupuis were swapped during warm-ups, which obviously points to the sort of the unrest and among sort of personnel, which has obviously played out at the start of this week. So I mean, that was an uncomfortable moment at the start, but I actually thought we looked okay early on. You know, we came out with a bit of jump. I said it before, our transition play was very fast. The game itself was good to watch. It was end-to-end in the first period. Patrick Ronka's 1-0 goal, I terrified the cat when that went in. I was just so happy to see him score. He needed it so badly. It was a great play to win the puck off the draw in that right circle, and an unbelievably a tight angle from the shot. You know, it felt like we had a bit of the rub of the green there. I saw a little bit of fire in the belly. You know, Yanni Lakanen and Liam Reddix had a bit of a scuffle behind Shane Owen. You know, you could see that the Giants could feel the pressure and feel the sort of I could see that they were willing to try and make something of the game. We got lucky with a Corcoran and Curran 1-2 down the zone in that first period. Phenomenal play and a miss, which we were lucky for. Then in the second period, either the Blaze came to life or the kind of cracks began to show for Belfast. I have to say that Polkamp shorty for one each was one of the best goals I've seen this season. Corcoran, as it's Corcoran dummies two teal jerseys on the right side of the blue line and feeds Polkamp, who five holes Shane Owen. You know, if it was for us, I would have been blown away. It was a beautiful goal. Ben Lake, to be fair, we're still in the mix at this point. Ben Lake dummies the Coventry tendy. He dummies him so far that I think he ended up in the car park, and Bobby Farnham just had to tap home a wide open goal. You know, we're 2-1 up at that point. But then I think, you know, as something you said today, Paddy, just it began to sort of fall apart. You can't say much about Corcoran's goal for 2-2. The puck just dropped in the middle of the slot and one of those kind of freak plays, and he got a free bite of the cherry. You know, David Brawl breaking my heart again. I don't know what it is about him. He looks like the guy that what's the main villain called in Goon? You know, the guys that plays for the Shamrocks. Yeah. Brawl actually looks exactly like him, and I can't stand him.
I like the comparison to Tosh from The Bill. That was even,
that's one for people of a certain age, isn't it? You know, fantastic phase of play for a Matt Pellett shorthanded goal. So you're in the third period here and it's 3-3 and we're still in the game. Then a number of penalties, and I just felt that sort of sickening feeling in the pit of my stomach again, like this isn't going to go our way no matter what we try to do. And of course that's how it went. I'm going to stop before obviously the controversial 4-3 goal, because that was probably the major talking point.
Well, let's come to that. It is a 3-3 game, as you say. You know, the Blaze has started to up it a bit, and then there's a bit of the puck goes in on top of, Shane Owen goes on top of the puck. The referee doesn't wave any sort of goal. We're told by the commentators in Ed Kimberley and Stu Coles that there is no goal line technology available due to, quote, hardware issues. The referees go to center ice. I don't know. I mean, Liam Sewell's chatting to both captains. I don't know where Darnes is, but anyway, Sewell does make the TV symbol with his fingers, but we're already told that there is no goal line technology, and subsequently even the commentators themselves are saying, I don't know how they can give this goal if they can't see it and there's no TV. They did give the goal. We don't know how, but they did give the goal. That made it 4-3, and then they subsequently went on to win 5-6. David?
I guess with there being no goal line technology, they're not able to overturn the decision on the ice. So,
but there was no decision on the ice. That's
there,
the thing.
There wasn't, all right. Sorry, I thought that.
There was no signal of a goal. The play was whistled down with no signal of a goal. The red light came on, certainly.
Well, yeah. You know, you look at this over now a couple of weeks, and I'm not crying because decisions have gone against us. A couple of decisions and five went against us. Say went against us. They didn't have the goal line technology to make it crystal clear whether the goal should have been given or not. And the same in Coventry the weekend. So I suppose an open question to the EIHL is this a professional, top-of-the-tree United Kingdom Hockey League or not? You know, are we going to make sure that these things are in place the next time a team comes into Coventry, that there isn't a hardware issue, that Fife have to have their goal line technology either installed or switched on, and that every other team in the league is playing to the same set of rules? That if you score a goal in Cardiff or Belfast or Sheffield, that you're as likely to have it analysed as you are in Coventry or Fife or Guildford or wherever. You know, it has to be just a standard across the league. Going against us, perhaps, but you know, I'm struggling a little bit, Paddy, to keep analysing the same game on game because it's a bit like Saturday night. We actually started quite well.
Yeah.
In fairness to us, I thought that we came out with a little bit of jump. We obviously got the goal. Nice goal. There's not many goals scored from behind the red line. and a bit cheeky, opportunistic from Vronka. And it was our Vronka. Great to see him getting a goal and buzzing about. And you sometimes wonder, is Patrick Vronka that good that people can't get on the same page as him, or has he not came to the party yet? I'm jury's still out on Patrick. He's a fantastic skater. Absolutely can leave D-man and forwards in his wake. The puck is like on a string. But we haven't had, statistically anyway, we haven't had the production that we probably would hope for. But he's coming from, like, you know, that Polish league. It's a completely different league. And he's surrounded also by other misfiring forwards. So it's difficult to really say, you know, he's not great or he is great. The jury's still out on a whole lot of these guys, because when everyone's not firing, it's very hard. It's a team game made up of individuals. So, you know, it's difficult when a team isn't firing, because then the spotlight kind of comes on individuality. And I don't really like that team sense, because it's just because, you know, you change one piece of the puzzle doesn't necessarily mean everybody else, you know, pulls their socks up. It's difficult. I thought we played well in that first period. I thought you know, we were then, as Adam Keith, I think, was it this game that he said we were kept quite perimeter on as well. And, you know, it's symptomatic.
Which we are time and time and time again. We were kept perimeter against the Storm. We were kept perimeter against the Blaze. We were perimeter against the Stars.
Much more so on Sunday than Saturday. I still think Saturday we got in low slot. We didn't maybe get mid-ice up. We're certainly getting plenty of shots in. Maybe not on the right areas of Leclerc, but we were getting shots in. We weren't getting those greasy rebounds, unfortunately. On Sunday, especially, so disappointing in the third period. I was really disappointed with our sort of output in the third period, where we, you know, we just didn't come up with enough in the third period to turn that game around. And, you know, that's probably been one of the most disappointing 20 minutes of the season for me. I thought we could have done a lot better in that last one.
The thing that there were a lot of questions asked of the Belfast Giants in that third period, mate, they didn't come up with any sort of answers. And I think this is the first weekend of two games where, you know, privileged position. We get to sit and watch the games. I've, you know, not getting home as often as I'd like to. I watch most games on webcasts, and this would be the first weekend I'd probably have switched off both games with 10 minutes to go in both games, where I was just like, I can't see this team coming back from this. I can't see this team, you know, scoring the goals. You know, they're not answering the questions that were being asked by the opposition team. And that's gut-wrenching from a position of league champions. And yes, there's personnel changes. And yes, you know, there's got to be fight in the team. And no doubt, you know, do I still have belief in this team? I do. I certainly still have belief in the coach. I still have belief in the organisation. We're ringing the changes now, and the questions continue to be asked, and more so this weekend when we come to talk about it later against the Cardiff Devils. But in these two games, it was just, like I say, that the last 10 minutes against the Storm, and when they were just pulling away, I was just like, no, I've got better things to do now. And the last 20 minutes against the Blaze, like you say, when the Blaze started, and take away the controversial goal, take away that, when the Blaze started to ask the questions and press against us, we weren't pressing back. I'll just stick with you this question, Davey, and I'll put it to you after, Joel. This team was built with a level of physicality that I don't see at this moment in time. Do you agree?
Do I agree?
Because there were certain aspects in that game, especially the game on Sunday, where I thought maybe a couple of hits, maybe a drop of the gloves, a bit of physicality in the game might have given a boost to the bench when we badly needed it.
Yes, I agree. And I guess when you've got, you know, you're in the first minute or whatever of the third period, I think it is, that we score the third goal to tie it up at 3-8, and you think, right, that's game on.
Yeah.
Well, not even that's our moment. We've got to kick on. We've got to get the next goal. The next goal is important, and obviously that all spun on its head. And, you know, we've talked at length, you know, you go in and you make that hit, or you go in and you and drop those gloves against somebody who, you know, the Coventry Blazers 3-8 against the Giants at home. Is anybody really going to want to drop the gloves? And that's their game over. Your game's over. You're 2+5 plus, you know, 10. Plus 10, you know, you take them. That's your game over. Your team's now down a player for an extra, you know, 7 minutes or whatever. The risk, the jeopardy of taking those penalties now, players are not getting involved in that physique. But I'm 100%, like, we've always been, it's a bit like, it's an identity question, I guess. You can ask what identity, I would probably throw that one at Joel to give it, feel like I've been hogging the mic here a little bit. But, you know, what is our identity at the minute? Because we're not scoring goals, we're not defending, and we're not physical. So what is that identity? What is it we're searching for? What was it over the six games that made us special there for a couple of weekends where, you know, we're kind of untouchable against Coventry Blaze the other week? I said on the podcast, you know, in every area, in goaltending, in defence, and up front, I was talking to Rob Plaister, we were just marginally, a few percent, which is all you're going to get in this league with the parity in it. You just need to be a little percentage better than your opposition in each of those areas on any given night to win the game. And on Sunday night, especially in that third period, we just weren't. If you give me 1 second, just here, Paddy. In that third period, with a few shots, lots of shots from outside, from the D-man, but in front, 3 shots from Liam Reddix, 1 shot from Liam Morgan, 1 from Smo, 2 from Franca, and 1 from Liam Morgan. You know, our big guys just, where's Hamilton? Where's Wardy? Where are these guys coming? They're not even having an opportunity scoring. You know, why aren't we, you know, why aren't we creating? And I guess if Adam Keefe knew that, you know, we would be. But I go back to the Dundee game and I go this game. Damon, week on week, it's now not a system issue. It's not a process issue. It's a personnel issue.
Joel, identity?
The identity of this hockey club has been Adam Keefe since he arrived in 2011. Be that on ice, you know, he was the guy to pull us up by our bootstraps or to create that spark. And behind the bench, he's now someone who, and it may have been over-emotional or whatever else, but I said on Twitter after the Coventry game that I need to see some heart from this team, because there's a city that cherishes the club and they're playing for a head coach who physically bled for it. Adam Keefe has been for a long time now the identity of this team, and I think that's why it hurts so much. You know, you think back to even the middle years of his playing career. Do you remember whenever we sort of had the unofficial tab of the comeback kings? You know, you could be trailing by two with 6-7 minutes left, and I remember sitting thinking, no, we're good here, we're gonna get this may come down to the wire, but we have a shout here. And I just haven't felt that. You know, you guys are you've been around this game for longer than me. You are analytically, I think, better than me at reading the game. And it's something that it takes a long, long time to learn. Sitting in front of this microphone isn't easy, but I've been around sport my whole life. And I've spoken before about just how interesting the psychology of a team is and how much of an effect that has on the on-ice product, away from all the X's and O's and whatever else. See, when that rot sets in and whenever things aren't going well and you've got that feeling in the pit of your stomach, whether you're going to practice, whether you're going to a game. And let's be honest, there are guys who are fearing for their jobs on a weekly basis, as we have seen this week, because we've cut two. When all of that is playing in your head, there's no way you can be all out enjoying what you do. It doesn't give me any pleasure whatsoever to say this. You know, there's no Schadenfreude or whatever you call it here. I'm not sitting reveling in bad times or you know, hoping that it makes clicks and gets content, whatever else. I love this club, and it physically hurts me whenever we go through periods like this. The fan base is turning on each other. Kiefer looks, he looks so frustrated and unhappy. It physically hurts me because of how much this club means to me. I think that there are guys in that room, they are under the cosh right now. If I'm having a stressful time in work and I try and draw out the parallels for my stupid normal job, you know, I'm not a happy person. I can't go about my day and enjoy what I do on a daily basis if I'm under that kind of stress. And I just think that once the ice starts tilting against you like that, whenever it's in your head and whenever you're playing scared, you know, playing with concern, playing with anxiety, then that's when these kinds of things happen. And see, when that ice starts tilting, it almost feels inevitable. You know, the Coventry score, the game's 3-3 in the third period. It's a psychological thing where you don't have the confidence to say, no, come on, boys, pull up the bootstraps here. Let's go. We can battle back into this. It's a fascinating thing that someone much more qualified and more intelligent than me could probably speak with more authority on. But very much that's what I'm seeing right now. There's a lack of heart and a lack of grit, and it's born of frustration, anxiety, and not having a good time playing your hockey. This team's at its best when it's rolling. The tunnel after a game, everybody's laughing, having the crack, everybody's smiling, and we just need that little spark. And it sounds like I'm retreading old ground, but that's the game that we're in. One or two results and this thing is turned around. And let's not, as Davey says, get too high with a high, too low with the lows. We are right in the mix here. People's frustration is because they haven't seen the consistency of a team that's going to go and run the table and knock that absolute pretender off the top spot. Well done, Zach. You've won a few games in November. You might as well hang your banner amongst your Hall of Fame now. Boys, the Giants are coming. We're a good team. We've got a phenomenal head coach. We're in the weeds right now, but I have no doubt that there is a way to turn it around. It's tough right now. It really hurts, and it hurts me to see guys that I like lose their jobs. I don't enjoy any of this, but it's what we're dealing with, so we have to be as honest as possible.
I actually, Paddy, just to come back in on what Joe's saying there, it's a very, very true and real point about stress and working environment and stuff. And you've got to appreciate that while it's sport and it is a game, it's their job, it's their livelihood, and it's a high pressure. They make no doubt about that. When you're playing in the top league, even if it's goal line technology, it's, you know, it's still, you know, they have you know, the homes to pay for, the children to feed and clothe, and, you know, and I guess the pressure of being brought in as a goal scorer and not scoring goals, and as you've seen this week, you know, Jean Dupuis has lost his job, and you know, we'll come on to that. And you know, I take really no pressure at all. In fact, I feel so bad for them. Imagine what Adam Keefe must feel like. making that call, making that decision that, you know, I'm making someone unemployed here. And
having spent time bringing these guys in and putting faith in them, then having to turn around and show them the door is a difficult decision to make.
I guess the risk was Jean Dupuis, and I don't know whether you want to just take this now, Paddy.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, Jean Dupuis and Jesse Forsberg have been released by the club with David Goodwin coming in. We'll hear from David Goodwin in a second, but yeah, the two departures of Jean Dupuis and Jesse Forsberg. There we go.
I'll go with Jean Dupuis. Give Joel his say. You know, Jean Dupuis never played really last season, you know, and I guess from that point of view, I thought it might take him a little bit longer to warm up. And I think it was you, me and Sizz on a podcast a number of weeks ago, 6 weeks ago or so, you know, we talked about who was going to get the goals in this team. And I can't remember what you and Sizz, who the players were, you said, but I'd said at that stage, I wasn't really willing to nail McCullers the mast on anyone because I hadn't seen enough. I hadn't played enough hockey. We played a few, you know, CHL games. We played a few exhibition games, but we hadn't seen enough domestically to make a call on it. And I just didn't see enough of Jean Dupuis. He came in glimpses of what he could do, and I still think that there's a risk Jean Dupuis will re-pop up in the Elite League for sure. And it could be one of those players that could come back and damage you. But the decision had to be made. Changes needed made up front. You know, we made a roster move at the back and bring in Liney. And he looks a couple of four games that he's played. He's done quite well. We knew coming in on the analysis of him that he would be a weak side wing attacker. And so he's done. He's got in there and he's got shots away from that sort of top of the circle area. And he's created well in there. But this roster changed now to let Forsberg. Forsberg's been unfortunate. He got, you know, that early injury, didn't get going, turned the puck over a wee bit too easy at times. You know, he suffered. I would have thought he was one of those players that, you know, Joel's talking about there, that maybe looked like the stress of the environment and having to battle so hard just to get in the lineup, let alone then, you know, you're probably thinking when you're going right here, I can't make a mistake or I'm going to be scratched again. You know, that is pressure. And he's ultimately played with it with his job. And, like, I suppose from my point of view, I've said it already, I don't like to see anyone losing their job. It makes no difference whether it's the Sheffield Steelers, the Cardiff Devils, whoever. I don't like to see any of them getting gassed. You know, even though it's our opposition, you know, you have a bit of a wry smile because it's sport at the end of the day. But, you know, you thank, I guess, Jean Dupuis and Jesse Forsberg for their time in Belfast and their efforts, because they didn't come in and just swing the lead. It just didn't work out for them. And, you know, I suppose it's a thanks for coming. And you will once a giant, you're always a giant. You know, best luck with whatever you go on to.
Interested, some comments we got from Twitter, Joel. You know, Jonathan Hughes, there was two changes enough for this squad. You know, Daz Dude, have we hit the panic button? And Andrew Adley saying he thought that Dupuis should have been kept and Forsberg maybe deserved more of a chance after the injury. You will get these opinions from fans. And you did see, we had Dupuis on this show soon after the game, the opening game against the Storm, when he had that fight. And, you know, the guy got a lot of heart, but cuts had to be made. Changes had to be made, and we'll hear from Goodwin in a second. But your thoughts on this shakeup?
Well, first of all, I'm the soft lad on the View from the Bridge, but I felt genuinely deep sadness last night. I was really despondent and I was really quiet, and you know, Danny was trying to talk to me and I just didn't really have anything to say. I felt really sad, you know, and I guess I'm in a sort of unusual position in that I have an official role volunteering with the club, and I also live among these guys. You know, I'm sitting in a flat here and their cars are in the car park and the boys come and go and I chat to them in the shop, and you sort of do, you know, you get to know them individually, and Jesse Forsberg and Jean Dupuis were two solid guys, really, really nice guys. But it's the business that we're in. So unfortunately, when it's not going right, tough calls have to be made. And I'm glad that the Belfast Giants, I'm glad that Adam Keefe, that Steve Thornton, and be it, you know, Robert Fitzpatrick, the trust, the ownership, I'm glad that they have had the mettle to make those tough decisions when they need to be made. Because in previous years, there have been detractors and naysayers who say, oh, the Giants hold on to guys because they're here for a degree. Oh, the Giants are more interested in a night of family entertainment. You know, it's not about the on-ice nice product. They don't really care about winning championships. Tell me that now. You know, the easy chirp, which I have enjoyed throwing at other teams in the past, is, oh, they've hit the panic button. Look at Sheffield last year and their turnover. But what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to languish and keep experiencing these defeats? If this club was about bums in seats and firing sandwiches into the crowd, we would be carrying on with the status quo and rolling out the same lines every single week. It's unfortunate that individuals have to lose their job, but let's not, from a side of supporting the club, feed anybody else's chirps. We haven't hit the panic button. We are making very difficult decisions in order to try and turn the ship around, because that's what this club is, and success is what we do.
Interesting point you make, Joel, and put that to you, David, and actually followed up from GMC on Twitter, Daddy Editor. He says, I've never really known the Giants to release a player because of underperforming in the years that we've been going. Were they right to release two players, or should they have stuck it out and tried to drive up the performance to where it should have been, or were these guys scapegoats?
It's always going to sort of harps back to something I said earlier in the game analysis. You know, as a collective, we're not firing, so someone was going to lose their job. Effectively, that makes them certainly look like scapegoats. You know, there have been a lot of analysis, a lot of conversations between coaches and assistant coaches and backroom staff and the head of hockey as to who was going to be the one or two to go. Obviously, when Liney came in the other week, we were carrying extra man, and then with Goodwin being fine, you know, bodies had to go. You just can't keep everybody. So, you know, from that point of view, there had to be changes. One of them had to be up front. You know, I think the other week when Liney came in, I was quite surprised that we were making a change on the back end, because the back end, despite Forsey not really playing brilliant, Mully being in and out of the team with whatever was keeping him out of, games, you know, we were still pretty tight at the back. Shane won, there'll be goals that he'll look back on and he'll want the second go at them. But that aside, you know, we were close in games, and even like 3-8 after 41 minutes Sunday was a close game. Saturday should have been closer than it was. We've talked through that. All those games that we won, you know, all the games that were lost as well, you know, so many one-goal games. So I don't think they're scapegoats. I think that the right changes were made. I think if you sat me down and forced me to say, you've got to let two of them go, I think they probably, certainly one of them would have been, I think Forsberg for me was the weakest of the D-pack that is remaining at the club. And up front, I could have made arguments for and against Jean Dupuis going. I think we've lost a bit of toughness with him leaving, a bit of size. You know, he's proven himself willing. But we need to search. We need a spark for a goal. And I think have to step up and maybe carry that role out a wee bit more. I could have argued maybe one or two others, but there'd be reasons why they stayed as well. You know, as I say, the analysis will have been done by the people that matter, and I'm certainly not one of those people.
Let's move it on to the signing. Like I said, David Goodwin arrives, 27-year-old American centreman, joining from Mora IK in Sweden, obviously the team that we played in pre-season. He's also a former teammate of Curtis Hamilton, which we'll hear about because he arrived in on Monday and I had a chance to chat with him. The Belfast Giants are ringing the changes after a disappointing couple of weeks. Part of that is the introduction of a brand new centre. That is David Goodwin, who joins me on the line now. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
So you're coming in now. Let's start with the immediates. How's your travel been? How are you feeling? What's been the last couple of days?
Yeah, obviously the travel, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, it can be tough at times, but like I said, I'm really excited to be here. So though I'm a little tired, I mainly excited and really looking forward to getting it going here.
How has this opportunity come about to join the Belfast Giants?
Yeah, you know, I was in Sweden and things weren't working out there. And Steve got in contact with my agent and I started doing some research on Belfast, on the Belfast Giants, talking to some players and and some other guys in this league, and everyone just had great things to say about this team and this organization. So I thought it'd be a good fit, and you know, I'm hoping it will be.
That's an interesting point. A lot of fans maybe think it's just about teams going out after the players, but the fit has to be right for the player. You guys have to know that you're coming into a good organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to you know, for the player to do their homework on the organization, on the coach, on the GM, and then also it's important, you know, what type of role the team sees you in. And if all those things match up, you know, well, then I think it can be a really good fit for everyone.
You played with Curtis Hamilton, is that correct?
Yep, Hammy and I played together in Finland, and then I've played against some of the other guys on the team, but Hammy's the only guy I've played with on the team.
I guess it's sometimes it's quite a small network. You see a lot of these guys on, if not, you know, you played NCAA, which I'll come to in a minute, but, you know, playing in Europe as well. A lot of these guys, as you say, you'll see there's teammates or opponents from before.
Yeah, certainly. Especially within the North Americans that are over here in Europe, you know, it really is a small group. And I think that's one thing that makes it really unique is that everyone kind of sticks together. You know, guys will go from this team to that team, this country to that country, and everyone kind of keeps in touch, and that's beneficial for the players because we can kind of get the information we need about the different teams.
So when it came to the research, to the Elite League, to the Belfast Giants, what sort of thing have you learned about the team, about the league?
Yeah, so, you know, like I mentioned, I did some homework. I talked to a couple guys that are on other teams in this league, and then obviously I talked to Curtis Hamilton a lot, and just heard that Belfast is a very professional organization. Obviously, they have very good history. They've done well, you know, last season and in the past. And, you know, I'm just looking to come in and add to that. You know, I think this is a really special place to play, and I'm just, you know, hoping to come here and you know, bring some more wins.
So give us a bit of an insight on yourself, David. You know, you've come through the NCAA with Penn State, and you made that jump straight to Finland. What was that decision about? Why straight to Europe?
Yeah, you know, I think like we kind of mentioned, it was just the best fit for me at the time. You know, I had opportunities to play professionally in North America right after college, but, you know, I just thought, you know, coming to Finland, it was just the best opportunity for my career. And, I had two really good years in Finland, really enjoyed my time there. So I do think it was the right decision looking back on it.
With our links through the Friendship 4 to NCAA to college hockey, it's always quite interesting to chat to guys who have been through that system. You captained Penn State, was relatively successful there as well. How do you look back in your college days?
Yeah, my 4 years at Penn State were great. It was capped off my senior year when I was the captain. As you mentioned, we won the conference championship, which was a really special moment for our university. So I look back on my 4 years with a lot of great memories, and you know, I felt like I developed really well, and then obviously also I got a good education. So I really kind of thought it was the best of both worlds.
You come into a Belfast Giants team that are obviously ringing the changes, and that's why you're here. When you come up with a challenge like that, how do you respond?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I think, you know, I feel confident in my ability that I can help the team, and I'm excited to you know, hopefully, you know, get the ship moving in the right direction. And I think, you know, obviously we have two tough games coming up with Cardiff, and I think it's perfect time for me to get here. Just a good challenge, and I know it'll be tough.
And what sort of player are the Belfast Giants fans going to see in David Goodwin?
Yeah, I feel like my strengths are I'm a good skater. I can make plays, and you know, I certainly like to get around the net and get some greasy, hard-nosed goals. So I would say those are my three strengths.
Well, welcome to Belfast, mate. I appreciate you chatting. It's been a long travel day for you, so we appreciate you joining us. And good luck this weekend against Cardiff in your debut, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Yep, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much to David. Joel, they say sentiment's coming in. We'll talk about this quickly because we've spent a lot of time talking about the departures. But, you know, he's coming in. This is the shakeup that's taking place coming into the weekend against the Cardiff Devils. You know, it's reset and go again.
Yeah, look, and to close the sort of previous point and come into David Goodwin, everybody's going to have their opinion who should go, about what position we should sign, whatever else. But how about you just put your faith in the man who lives and breathes this and works extraordinary hours? You know, we'll have our opinions, but Adam Keefe and the coaching staff will have the facts. So look, fantastic to see on the flip side that we have moved quickly to bring in an offensive defenseman in Ryan Lowney, short, fast, good on the power play, and also now David Goodwin, who had a stellar career with Penn State in college, had two strong years in Finland. He went to Sweden, it didn't work out for him. He didn't actually play with Mora in preseason, he hadn't joined at that point. He was still with Saipa, I think. So he got cut then from there, played, I think, 11 games then with Mora. And that's a team who were freshly relegated. Their head coach, Jeff Jacobs, was a man under pressure. He had to ring some changes, and he has since been fired just because the team had been relegated and underperformed. So I wouldn't look too much into his spell in Sweden. It just seemed that he never really found a spot on a roster that was comfortable for him. I think he's someone with pedigree to create a spark in the Elite Ice Hockey League. I think the narrative with his arrival will play a big part. I think he knows he's coming into a club that are a little under the cosh right now, and a fan base who is a pressure cooker, just waiting for this big moment to sort of herald the return of the Belfast Giants. I think all of that will play a factor, and I'm really excited to see what he's got. I may sound like a homer, I may sound like a happy clapper, whatever else, but my trust is in Adam Keefe, as it has been since the DNRE arrived in Belfast.
David?
As I say, you know, we're, you know, Dupuis probably, I don't know, 6'3", 210, 215, something like that. And, you know, I think Goodwin's listed as 5'10", 175 or something. You know, so we've swapped size for, I assume, a little bit more speed. And we always hark back that old, you know, speed kills thing. And Goodwin is a player who, you know, I haven't seen enough of him. I don't really know his career that well. You know, so what do? You go and say he's captain Penn State. He comes with good NCAA pedigree. We have seen over the last number of years what good players can do. NCAA is now a feeding ground for even the NHL, for top, for Liga Allsvenskan, good leagues across Europe. And some of that drips down. The ones that aren't just ready to go straight into, you know, those leagues, some of them are coming to Belfast. Look at Darcy Murphy, for example. You know, we take that as the classic real. Liam Morgan came in, has done really well in the Champions Hockey. Maybe domestically needs to really, you know, step up to that Champions League level that he was playing at. It's finding combinations here, Pat. And I know we talked earlier, and I hate using that term, and I seem to use it a lot in podcasts. Well, we talked last week about, you know, Adam Keefe mixing and mashing lines, just trying to find that one line, because you need to get one line going. So crucial. I'm not sure whether it was in one of his one of Adam Keefe's interviews, somebody asked him about, you know, sometimes you get scoring from, like last year, the Riley Rutherford Murphy line carried us for a few weeks while other lines weren't firing. At the minute, we don't have a line firing. So Adam Keefe will be searching for that one little gel, that line that'll just come together and step up and score points. And then all of a sudden, another line does it and another line does it. You start getting 60-minute performances and you get goals from all lines. Like the other week there, we went two games and I think like 14 players scored across two goals, yeah. Something across two games. You know, people were getting goals from everywhere. Suddenly it dries up. So there's no rhyme or reason why it doesn't. Hopefully Goodwin will come in and be a little catalyst, a little spark that gets things going again. Guys will have been spoken to this week. It'll have been a difficult week in the locker room. Joel talked about the stress. You know, those guys are family to each other, and there's two empty stalls, you know, this morning when they go in. There's probably not a lot of debrief. Boys were going, it's just, you know, all the best, lads. And you move on. And, you know, those guys have to deal with that, and now deal with the pressure of, we were told when you come to Belfast, you don't get sacked. And there's a bit of resting on your laurels, I think, sometimes, organisation, where, Belfast don't gas players.
Yep.
You've had a wake-up call, boys. I would assume that every single one of them has had to sit and been eyeballed by Adam Keefe and say, I'm making changes next week. If you want to be here, you need to step your game up. And that conversation will have been had probably with every player. And now it's time to make their money. You know, it's they're not going to be millionaires. They're not. A lot of them are here for the love of the game and that they want to play. If you want to continue playing and want to keep representing this great city that you're representing for us, we appreciate it because we can't do it. And you're representing it for us. You need to step up.
The Bouchy introduction to David Goodwood is available on kingdomofthegiants.com. Let's hear from a man we've mentioned quite a bit, the man who's making the decisions. Simon had a chance to chat with Adam Keefe earlier today.
We really appreciate the time of the head coach here. I know he's got a busy week ahead of him as he prepares for the doubleheader away in Cardiff against the Cardiff Devils. Adam, over the weekend, another two defeats. First of all, Saturday against the Dundee Stars. And then Sunday away to the Comedy Place. Can we start on Saturday? What was your thoughts on the performance and the application for the players on Saturday?
I thought Saturday, I thought we started well again. Obviously, we didn't do enough throughout that game, and we gave them too many opportunities, and we kind of followed up on Sunday with the same type of performance again on Sunday. I thought. We started the game real well, lost some momentum, and it was tough to regain that composure again. To be honest with you, it's obviously a tough time we're going through, and this is an important week for us.
You talk about, you know, the momentum switch on Sunday, and I know I'm conscious of what you can and what you can't say. About the officiating, but what was your view on the goal that was allowed for the Comedy Blaze? Because I'm assuming that's the part of the game that really did switch momentum.
Well, there's a few different instances that switched momentum. I think special teams was a momentum swinger for them. In terms of the goal, we were made aware at the start of the game that there is no goal line technology. So there's not like I could ask for a review or anything. I actually had figured that it was going to be called no goal because they didn't make a call for the goal on the ice. But one of the captains came and explained, I think it was Reddix, had told me that they said that they called it a goal on the play. It was a good goal. So at that point, there's not much I can do about it other than try to focus on us getting one back. I mean, it's out of your hands at that moment.
You have been talking about, obviously, your lack of goal scoring over the last few weeks. You've made that move. You've brought in a new player this week, David Goodwin. What's the story with regards to how the move came about for David?
Well, I think we have been struggling a little bit offensively, and his name came about there a while ago, and I think that Steven's been speaking with the agent there off and on. And, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do when you're trying to manage the players that are on the team and also trying to improve the team all at the same time. I tend to try to focus on the players that I have and what we can get out of them. That being said, once a move is made to bring somebody new in, it's difficult to keep everybody around, and some tough decisions needed to be made.
Obviously, you're talking about the tough decisions. Jean Dupuis and Jesse Forsberg were released yesterday. As you say, it's certainly never an easy decision when you're letting guys go.
Yeah, I know. It was a very difficult day and, a very difficult few weeks, to be honest with you. I guess knowing we're getting to this point when we added Ryan Lowney as well, and some real difficult decisions need to be made. And look, it's not a good day. And all that, some people may think otherwise because we're losing. But, these guys are a tight-knit group in that room, regardless of the result. And it's not a day to be celebrated, that's for sure, when you have to lose two good men in Jesse Forsberg and Jan Dupuis. And I think guys understand it's a business and we must move forward, but I think it's still a difficult to, I guess, accept and know that those guys are no longer going to be with us. With all that being said, I do think that their potential is very high, and I'm positive that, that they'll find another team to go and contribute on. It just the situation with us at the moment wasn't working for both parties, I think, and you know the opportunity for them to now go find quality ice time and. I guess, you know, find a spot where they can have, I guess, more of an opportunity to have success.
First day of training for David. I know he only came in yesterday. It's always difficult to try and gauge how you expect he's going to be and how. Yeah. But how did he start off this morning for you?
Yeah, I thought he fit in well. You know, we've got him playing with Ben Lake and Jordan Smotherman and at the moment, and I thought that as a line they looked pretty good, and I think that he fit in well in terms of what we were looking for. But again, yeah, I mean, it is just practice, so it really is tough to tell. And he's obviously just off a flight, so he's a bit jet lagged, and it's a big work week for not only David but also the entire team to get prepped and get ready for a tough challenge in the Cardiff Devils.
Cardiff Devils, runners-up last season at the Euro champion Belfast Giants. It's never easy to go into the Viola Arena. I'm sure you're expecting nothing but a really tough challenge ahead this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be as good a team as we've faced yet. The Cardiff Devils, we know they're a good hockey team, and they haven't been at the top of the table for a while now, in the last few years, for no reason. You know, they're a good side, and they've kept the majority of their team and added some pieces. So I fully expect it's going to be one of the toughest teams we've faced yet. But, you know, when we've faced tough teams before in the past, throughout the Champions League and some big games from within this league, our guys do seem to rise to the occasion, and I think that it's a great test for us to dig our way out of this little slump right here we're in.
I know your team first mentality, you always have been, especially, you know, we've seen that in Belfast, both as a player, a captain, and as the head coach. But how's this last couple of weeks been for you as an individual?
Stressful. This is a tough situation. It's a different league over here in terms of chasing first place. It's like no other league in the world for ice hockey. And I think that, you know, the stresses are tough. And, I particularly don't like the way that I've dealt with it this time around. I think I need to be better. I think the team needs to be better. I think we all know that. We need to respond to this pressure a little better, and we know that we have a good hockey team. We've proven that against some very good hockey teams, so I think that it's about getting that positivity and getting a bit of swagger back in our game and trying to build momentum. And I think that it's difficult to do that when you're under the gun and under stress and pressure. So, you know, I need to be better at handling that and making sure I'm helping the group.
And last of all, you know, it's always, as I said, the last couple of weeks has been a bit of a negative market so far this season. But looking at it from a positive side of things, you're only a couple of points off the top of the league here at the minute. And, you know, it's certainly not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I know everybody says 11 points, but I think I choose to look at it as 8 points back from Cardiff because I think we had a couple games in hand. But whichever way you slice it, we were a ways away from first place last year, and we clawed our way back. So it's certainly not the end of the world. But, I mean, you know, we want to do well, and guys want to win trophies. And at the same time, this is a very good hockey league. It's difficult to win in. I mean, if it was easy, we would do it every year. And it's not an easy league to win in. So, you know, we're doing our best right now to try and right the ship. And this week, and this weekend coming is no different. Every weekend we try to go into it with the best frame of mind and try and put our best side on the ice, you know, and that's what we'll be doing again come Saturday.
Adam, listen, again, we always appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, so thanks very much for coming on ABF TV, and best of luck this weekend.
No problem, Sam. Thank you.
Thanks very much to Kiefer. Right, quickly, let's look around the league. Nothing much to chat about outside of the, you know, just a couple of fixtures that took place over the weekend. Cardiff are finding their feet just ahead of the fact that we play them this weekend. They had back-to-back wins over Manchester and against Fife. A mixed weekend for the Sheffield Steelers with a home win over Coventry, but then an 8-5 loss in Glasgow. Glasgow themselves had a 50% return on the weekend, having lost to the Fife Flyers the previous night. And the only other thing really to mention is that the Panthers made the Continental Cup final. Don't know the details, don't really care.
Yeah, who cares?
Time to look ahead to what is a big weekend for the Belfast Giants. Two games away to Cardiff Devils. The first time we'll have faced the Cardiff Devils this season. And, well, we decided we'd call somebody up for a bit of a chat to see how their season's going. Yeah, Blair Riley. Saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. Still there? He hasn't hung up. He's still there?
He's still there.
I knew he wouldn't hang up.
How we doing, fellas?
All good, mate, all good.
Yeah, all right.
I'm gonna let Davey ask the opening question here.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh well, yes, I get to do a bit of an introduction as well. The former Belfast Giants, two-time Challenge Cup champion, league winner last season, decides to take a step across the REC and the wheels. What the f***?
is that getting bleeped out?
Absolutely.
Yeah, here I am, the villain. Long time coming. I said I was open for a chat any time. I think Patty said he's not welcome.
I know I said to you personally after, you know, we wished you genuinely all the best except against us, and you know, we don't really wish you, you know what I mean by that, because we obviously are Belfast Giants fans, we want to win, but you know, you did come to us and you played for our city, you represented us as guys because we're not good enough to do it ourselves. So from that perspective, we appreciate everything you did entail, but you know, it's difficult, I guess, to see guys who revered you maybe turn a little bit on you on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, I wasn't surprised by it. Like I had seen it from players before. Obviously I played with Martinelli and Whistle and saw some of the flack they were getting. So I wasn't surprised by it. And like I said, when I put a tweet out after, I appreciate the support and loyalty from the fans that respect the team and supported them during my time there and will continue supporting after. So it was all good. Like I completely understood the fans' perspective, and I couldn't make a decision, you know, for my career and personal development based on a fan reaction. It's just not realistic, but it was obviously difficult to make the decision, and it was difficult to see some of the reaction.
Right, it's your former hype man Joel here. Listen, I guess I'll reflect, Davey. You know, you were always very generous with your time, both with the podcast and with me in post game and whatever else. You know, got on with you off ice. You never kind of big timed us or anything like that. So I just wanted to thank you for that and let you know that I'll always remember when we used to be friends. But the worst kept secret in the sign in was the worst kept secret in hockey all summer. Just to sort of elaborate on what Davey said there, how did it feel to see the takes flying online and for you all summer long to not be able to say anything about moving on to a much smaller club?
Nice throwing at the end. Yeah, I guess like once the team, like once Belfast released, you know, whatever they had put out, it was probably just would have been just easy enough to announce it from Cardiff's side of things. Cause
yeah,
you know, everyone kind of had a pretty general idea of where I was going at that point. I guess there was still probably a little bit of mystery behind it. But you guys know how signings go when they're released with Belfast. I mean, it's nice to save some fanfare for the summer months when things are kind of quiet. And
yeah, that's it.
You know, you kind of do a slow drip and then it kind of gets some fan excitement going. So they wanted to save the announcement for their yearly summit, but they actually didn't give me the heads up that I was actually getting released, you know, that day. And I was actually out on the golf course and I went, I went and hit a drive. It was probably, I don't know, 320 right down the pipe.
Yeah,
or
of course it was.
Yeah. Standard shanked it, took a drop.
Yeah, I was shanked. I was off in the woods. And then I had to, I came back to my phone and I checked and I had like, you know, a blow up Twitter message. You know,
broke the internet.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. So that's when it broke. And I didn't have a prior, you know, heads up that it was going to be released that day or that they were doing it. So it was a surprise to me that day as well.
Obviously we accept that a hockey career and any kind of sporting career is short, and you have to do what's best for yourself, what's best for your family financially. And we accept that. Everybody knows about that sport. You mentioned just in opening there about personal development. Do you really see the step across to, at this stage of your career, a better chance to win in Cardiff? Or what was the personal development you were talking about there, about making the move?
Yeah, I guess personal development probably isn't necessarily the right term, because I'm 34 at this stage of my playing career. So that's probably not the correct way to phrase it. But Todd, you know, he'd given me an opportunity after the season, and I felt like at this stage of my career, it wasn't something that I could turn down. You know, I probably wasn't getting a job to advance into Germany or, you know, even Austria at this point, just because of where I'm at. And so it was an opportunity that I really felt like I had to take. So there's obviously some personal details that I'll keep to myself that go into a decision like this, but yeah, that's pretty much what it was. It wasn't a decision I took lightly. It wasn't an easy decision, but it was one that I felt I had to make.
So Cardiff this season, let's just look at the team that you are now part of. Obviously you opened up with relatively successful Champions Hockey League, and you know, to be fair to you, you put the hard work in last season to get Cardiff that position, so it was good you were actually still able to take part. What's been your take of Cardiff and how you guys have played so far this season?
Yeah, it seems like you know, us and Belfast have almost kind of mirrored each other at times, from what I can kind of read and follow along. We've been inconsistent at times. I thought in the Champions League we really took some good strides, and we felt confident coming out of that tournament. But you play such a different style of game when you're playing like Frölunda and Mountfield, and I'm sure you guys saw when you're playing some top teams from Sweden, and it just doesn't feel like you have the puck a whole lot, and you kind of got to change your game plan where you're simplifying, you're chasing the puck a lot more, you're defending a lot more, and then you kind of get back in our league play and it kind of switches where you're more the puck possession, and it seems like you got a little more time to make plays. So it seemed like we struggled with that transition a little bit at first. You know, we went through the injury bug as well as it seems you guys have, and you know, hopefully these last couple of weeks, I think we've kind of, you know, started to hit our stride a little bit, and hopefully coming into our own, especially heading into this weekend, as we meet you guys for a couple of big ones. You know, and I think you guys probably look across the league and you guys see most of the teams now, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot between all the teams this year, you know, whereas last year it seemed like there was a pretty big gap between the top two. You know, so it'll be an interesting season, especially if things keep trending the way they are. It's going to be tight for, you know, for five or six teams. I think they'll probably have a legitimate shot after Christmas.
Riles, I just want to pick up just on the actual move. Obviously, there were, as Fee over there and as Cardiff's PR machine will do, expectedly, they obviously made a lot of the signing, and there were a lot of photos of you in the kind of red gear and whatever else. How, you know, I was looking down your career to date, and I don't think you've ever made a move like that, you know, from arrival to arrival in the kind of loose sense of the word. How did it feel? How alien was it to suddenly be on the home side in that building and to pull on that red jersey after having battled them so hard for 3 years?
Yeah, it was a bit different. Like, you know, it was probably a bit different for their fans, even getting used to seeing me in that jersey and mm-hmm. having all of a sudden cheer for me where they probably, you know, wouldn't have dreamed of that over the last three seasons. So there's an adjustment period. There always is when you come to a new team, when you come to a new city, and I was coming to a new locker room of players that I've gone through quite a few battles against. But you know, I've been in that situation before, in my career. And, you know, once you kind of get in the general day to day and you start, skating together and you see the guys so much, it comes pretty natural on that side of things. You know, I'm sure it'll be a different experience this weekend, seeing a lot of familiar faces on the other side. And, you know, even more so when we actually go up to Belfast to play the games there. But yeah, it was a different experience. But you know, I've enjoyed my time so far here, and it seems once you get into November, things just start flying by because you're playing so many games and you're so busy and you're wrapped up in things that it goes pretty quick. And, you know, weekends like this are kind of the special ones that you'll probably remember.
I've got a question just about your game. I remember when you came into us from Stockton, and you came with this reputation in the AHL of a physical guy, was willing to drop the gloves, and arguably you changed that sort of approach that you had there when you came into the league. You became more of a goal scorer, a most certainly a leader. You just have to look at the goals that led us to the title last season, and you know, the celebrations in front of the Steelers fans, the celebration in Coventry at the end of the season when you went right onto the bench to give the grief to the lads behind. You know, you changed your game from that respect, but you still have that level of physicality in your game. But what I want to ask you about is the last couple of weeks, you received an instigator penalty for a fight against Baldwin, was it, against Guildford? And then last week, there was a hit on Joey Martin where you went steaming in, and it looked you were going to try to get involved again, but you seemed to take a beat and decide not to get involved. Was that down to the instigator penalty again? And does that affect the game in this country?
Yeah, I mean, it does to an extent. Like, yeah, if you've, I'm sure you guys saw the Baldwin incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this last year at great length, that there's a point for the instigator rule, and you know, there's a reason for fighting as well. And it's still in the game to deter dangerous hits and dangerous plays. And I felt like that was a dangerous hit, caught a bit of like head contact. So there's no penalty called. It was within my right to go and then defend myself. So that's what I was doing on that. I don't know. And then it turns into a 2-minute power play for them. And then I had to sit in the box for 17 minutes of the third period in a close game. The way the league's mapped out, with every game being so important, like that's pretty big. So, yeah, I think you're probably talking about Gutwald and Fife there. Yeah, there's under 5 minutes left. An instigator there, I think I get at least a one game suspension probably on top of that. And it's just, I mean, it's tough to put your team down in that circumstance, especially with a suspension. You lose an import spot, so someone else has got to sit out as well. You can't just bring another guy into the lineup, so the team's shorthanded. And yeah, it's it's there for a reason. I get that, but there's times that it doesn't need to be called and probably should be reviewed at times, but it is what it is. The fighting's kind of getting away from the game more and more, and the instigator of the rule realistically is a part of that.
Is that difficult because, you know, you've grown up with the game, as you say, you're 34, you've grown up playing the game a certain way, understanding the game a certain way, instinct will kick in with when a player gets or a teammate gets hit like that, but a change in the rule now, do you find you have to sort of retrain yourself to understand that?
Yeah, I guess it's just keeping up with the times. And it hasn't been an overnight kind of thing. Like, it's been a evolution probably since I've been playing professionally. You can kind of see it, year by year. It's kind of, another rule will get instituted and, something else will deter it. So it hasn't just been an overnight kind of thing that's happened, but it's happened over time and just kind of the way the game is played now with a bit more focus on speed and skill, you don't have as many people that are necessarily accustomed to fighting, so that's probably part of it as well. It is a changing game, and you kind of got to keep up with the times, obviously.
Right, I guess we'll wrap this. It's been like seeing an ex-girlfriend out in the street, but
is it? How close were you?
I better shave for this weekend then.
No comment. Paddy asks all the intellectual in-depth hockey questions. I just want to know, there's an old tradition in football or soccer as it is with you. Players, when they go back and play against the club that they used to play for, that they were beloved at, if they score a goal, not saying that players will score a goal obviously, but if they often don't celebrate as a sign of respect. Just wondering what your take on that is.
Did you just make that up?
Absolutely not.
That is a tradition of in football. You don't celebrate against your old club.
Just wondering.
I will do some research on that for one. I've never seen that.
You don't believe me?
I don't buy it. For two, I mean, I hope that it comes to that, and I have to make it a snap decision in the moment. Because when I celebrate a goal, it's not like. It's not a choreographed thing, so that thing in Coventry, I was getting flack from the fans behind the bench, so that's why I celebrated.
It was very funny.
Fans had taunted me before at times, so that's what they got back, I guess.
Shouting at the linesman.
that was my all-time favorite all-time moment.
Again, see, so they're unprovoked. if I'm prodded, I guess I gotta reciprocate. So time will tell, and hopefully, it comes to that, and I can find a way to score one. But either way, I'm looking forward to returning there. I've said it time and again that I love my time playing there. I made a lot of great friends and a lot of great memories, and 3 years that went really quick, but mm-hmm. over that time we did some pretty special things. So when it's all said and done and my playing career is over, hopefully the fans will appreciate it more. I understand that in the moment they probably won't when they see me on the other side, and I understand that as well. So I appreciate you guys having me on and having a chat. Like I said, it's always been a pleasure catching up with you guys.
Well, listen, mate, we really appreciate you coming back on and being such a good sport for all the crack. Those games, Saturday, 7 p.m., Sunday, 6 p.m. over at the Viola Arena. You get them on Ice Time TV with Gaz Hughes and Oliver Hampson if you're not making the trip over. I believe there's quite a few guys making the trip over, Ryle, so I'm sure you'll hear them.
I think it might be a 4 o'clock start.
Was it 4?
Well, yeah, they got to get the boys out of there early for Sunday so we can... catch up for a few pints, huh?
Nah, absolutely. Well, listen, mate, I hope you don't have that decision to make on Saturday or on Sunday.
Yeah,
well, hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks again to Blair Riley. Any other business, gentlemen? I'm going to start off just briefly. Another big thank you to everybody who's been tweeting in as part of the Bleed Teal 100. We've had quite a few this week of people who've been going down, giving their blood, helping people. Like I say, every time you give blood, you help three people. You'll also be donating money to the Northern Ireland Blood Transfusion Service and maybe getting a pint for yourself at the end of the season. But that's by the by, because the main thing is the fact that by giving blood, you are helping people. And we've had a fair few people, Davey, tweeting in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, brilliant. And I actually saw one of the school teachers at Ruby's going out and date night. It was brilliant having a wee night out with Ruby and Milne. But I saw one of the school teachers and I was like, that's having a bit of small talk. Where are you off to? He says, oh, I'm just going to, you know, donate some blood. Just get yourself over onto Twitter, onto the Facebook, get a picture.
Always working, Davey. Always working.
Always tells me, get a picture of yourself taking blood. We'll set you up with a pint and our sponsors will put £10 in your name to the Northern Ireland Blood Transfusion Centre. Doesn't matter where you are in the UK, if you're a hockey fan, you're a Belfast Giants fan, whatever, give blood, help three people, get a donation to charity and do something good for your fellow man, stroke woman, stroke gender, fluid, whatever.
What? That took a turn.
Wow. This podcast is open to all. Any other business, gents?
Yeah, just the Bleed Teal 100, obviously. Seeing it all rolling in on Twitter, and I'm feeling feeling a bit left out, but I'm unfortunately waiting out my 4 months. I did a bit of traveling during the summer and I also got some tattoos, so January is my time. For what it's worth, I have an unnamed relative who is a registered nurse, and I was in the house having a few drinks last weekend, and there was a bit of kit in the house and I just wanted to see what it felt like. So I have had my veins punctured just to see what it was like, and it wasn't too bad. So as soon as my 4 months are up, I am straight in there and I'll be joining in. But thank you and well done to everybody who has.
Wait.
this is what alarm people do.
I'm pretty sure I'm well aware who the unnamed relative is. But there was kit in the house?
There was an L needle or two lying around. all very sterile. All. Board. The unnamed relative has just completed training, so I was entitled to have all the gear, whatever else. It was a bit of a lost bet over a few tins down home, so I just wanted to see what it was like, and it wasn't so bad. I'm still a bit bruised, but apparently I've got juicy veins, so I'll be good to go as soon as January rolls around. Listen, you don't work out without warming up, boys. I've just been warming up. I'm good to go.
What I will say is a bit of a warning. Categorically do not mess with needles. They can be very, very dangerous.
yeah, only a trained professional in a sterile environment.
Correct. Anything more, David?
Paddy, the only thing I've left to talk about is SNL Giants. And obviously they're doing the hard yards. They're having to get on that boat, that bus every week. Big long run up the Aberdeen a couple of weekends ago. 6-0 loss against the Aberdeen Lynx. Unfortunate. I think Caelan Morrison was away with Team GB. Obviously a bit of a miss. And then they went on last weekend against the North Ayrshire Wild, where they actually took a 1-0 lead into the first period. I just can't put my hand on who scored, but I'm just going to assume it was Mark Morrison, you know. Woo-hoo. And I think rather than go any further, we'll just leave it that there were first.
Are you just going to leave it that they finished 1-0 at the end of the first?
I think that's probably best.
Okay. There's no point looking any further. Yeah, same one of the Northern Ireland match. I'm going to go with that.
Steps to start off, and you know, hopefully things grow for them, and we'll keep on top.
Absolutely, we'll keep on top of scores. I know I said a bit of tongue in cheek because they obviously went to defeat the North Ayrshire, but you know, it's difficult. You're on the road every week. It's costing them a lot of money. If anybody, any sponsors or anything out there, obviously want to sponsor the podcast first and foremost. But then if you've got any spare change and you want to throw it away, the SNL chance, I know it would be put to very, very good use.
Paddy, sorry, just on the SNL team, there's a team winter fundraiser this Friday, the 23rd. I think it's this Friday. Or is 23rd Saturday? 20, is that Saturday?
23rd is Saturday.
Sorry, Castlereagh Hills Golf Club this Saturday, SNL Giants Winter Fundraiser from 8 o'clock. Fiver tickets, £6 at the door, and there's a DJ. Graham Walton will probably be dancing. There's ballot prizes, and apparently there's a bit of beer pong too. So brilliant way to go and have a good night out and also support the SNL team.
Fantastic. Hopefully people get down and be part of that. Right, I think we'll wrap things up there, gentlemen. Thanks to Adam Keefe, Blair Riley and David Goodwin for their time. Those games against Cardiff, Saturday 7 p.m. and Sunday, as Blair Riley was quick to correct me, 4 p.m. And as I said, you know, if you're not flying over to the Viola Arena, you can catch them on Ice Time TV with our good friends Gaz Hughes, formerly a reporter of this parish, and Oliver Hampson. All I want to say, big thanks to you two gents. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
It's going to be an interesting weekend for the Belfast Giants because the last couple of weeks haven't been very good. Let's be fair. We are all a little bit down. We're a little bit angry. If you're not angry at losses, then you're not following sport, because, you know, you can turn around and think, you know, things are going to get better, and they will. They absolutely will. That's what this club does. This club finds ways to win. They've been the top of the league for many, many years. They've been fighting for titles for many, many years, and they will continue to fight for titles for many, many years. And the great thing about the last couple of weeks, the great thing about the last couple of days, is the fact that the Belfast Giants have not sat on their hands. We've made the changes. No doubt that these players have been in and faced Adam Keefe. They've been told exactly what this club want to achieve. They've been shown that elite league title that is in our trophy case. They've been shown those back-to-back Challenge Cup titles. They've been shown what exactly we want for this club, and they've been shown with the 7,000 people that were in the SSE Arena on Saturday how many people will come out and support this great club. And we go into Cardiff on Saturday with a challenge, and we've been laying down a challenge against a team who have probably been one of the better teams of the last number of years. But from time to time, that happens to the Giants. We went up against the Coventry Blaze. We went up against the Sheffield Steelers. We went up against the Nottingham Panthers. And now they've all fallen away, and the challenger for the title is the Cardiff Devils. We have to go in there and take the win. We have to go in there and show exactly why the Belfast Giants are always fighting for the title. Can this team do that? Well, they've shown in the CHL that they can do that, and they will do that. Because I think we all have a hell of a lot of faith in this team. Because this is the time that this team are going to step up. Going into the Christmas period and having a doubleheader against the Cardiff Devils is exactly the way this team wants to begin the fight for the Elite League title. And best of luck to them, because I have no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what they can do. And on that note, wherever you're watching your hockey this weekend, we hope you enjoy it, especially if you're travelling over to the Viola Arena to watch your Belfast Giants. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.